Welcome to another edition of the Big Pod Machine. This might be our last one in Arizona.
Yeah.
As we open the final week before they break camp. They're going to break camp on Sunday the 22nd.
Yeah.
Head to Milwaukee for two dumbass exhibition. Why do they? I don't know why they're doing that. But they're going to play two games in Milwaukee and then have the one day before the opener on the 26th. And then the Red Sox are in town. So this could be it. There's a lot of decisions,
yeah,
Pat, as we go into this final full week in Arizona, except there's one that's not a decision.
Yeah.
Tito says he made it like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think he was joking a little bit, but maybe not by much.
Probably not. No, we're talking about Matt McClain, obviously.
Yeah, your guy.
We just get right to that. Why don't we?
Yeah, Matt McClain does. So Tito comes into spring training, and is when he's talking about the lineup, he says the biggest thing for him is he needed to figure out who was going to bat second.
Yeah.
And last year, Matt McClain opened the season batting second, based in large part on what he had done in 2023 before that shoulder surgery wiped out his 2024 season.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect guy for the two-hole if he's hitting, because he can do so many things for you. He's got some speed. He can manipulate the bat a little bit. But he slumped. He slumped so bad for most of the season last year that only lasted 6 weeks or so before Tito had to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And so he came into this camp not knowing who that was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing there is you want to separate TJ Friedl, your leadoff guy, Ellie De La Cruz in the three hole, and
You needed a right-handed hitter.
You're right. And to do that with a right-handed hitter, yeah, was the thing. And then, you know, from there you can open up a bunch of interesting possibilities, because this really does look like an exciting, deeper batting order
You also want somebody athletic in that,
yeah,
two spot, especially when you have an elite speed guy in Ellie De La Cruz. If he gets on base, you don't want some slow guy potentially 90 feet
up
in front,
yeah,
of him.
Yeah.
So it really worked out well in 23 when both those guys were rookies,
yeah,
and had come up roughly together. And you saw how dynamic that could be,
yeah,
with the team speed. So this is the best case scenario for the lineup.
I agree. And that's settled.
Which means one through four and maybe five are settled.
Yeah, I agree. I think because Sal Stewart comes in behind Eugenio.
Suarez is behind Ellie, and
yeah,
then Sal Stewart probably is behind,
yeah,
Ellie. And you got two lefties going for the Red Sox out of the first three game, so it's kind of nice to have that right-handed pop in there in the middle of the order too.
Yeah, but I think we need to be fair about McClain's situation, Gordon. He's batting 553 right now in camp. I think if he's not tied for the MLB lead in spring training homers,
like every category, damn near every category.
Yeah, he's crushing the ball. The idea of him filling in as the number two hole hitter for the Reds felt like a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah, and it's not just the numbers, because the numbers really did. He had a good spring last year and slumped,
yeah,
during the season. So it's not the numbers, but it is things like, I want to say his first two hits of the spring were the opposite way. And Tito talked about at least one of those being an outside breaking ball that he,
yeah,
just took the other way instead of swinging and missing at. Those are the kind of things they look for that tells you that he's on.
Yeah.
That he's looking like he's supposed to look.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that it's also coinciding with some hellacious numbers. So all the way around, it's one of those high-confidence decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
kind of got that one right, feels like. So, Gordon, that decision done and dusted. Now we are 6 days from breaking camp. The Reds effectively... Look, the Reds formally announced two more cuts today.
Yeah.
And then we step into the morning meeting with Terry Francona. And
he tells us, too, that we already knew.
Catchers. Yeah, right. But brought the grand total of cuts to the day for five.
Well, guys that have been informed that they're not making the club.
Right.
So
right.
There's two guys that are going to open on the IL. We already know Hunter Green and Caleb Ferguson. And so when you go 37, 35, 30, right?
Down to 32/31.
32 for 26 spots. So you say, well, that's six. But in reality, what did we come up with?
Well,
we think it's five, maybe four.
Kyle Nicholas, the Reds just haven't seen him yet. They traded for him from the Pirates.
Yeah.
Earlier in camp,
he
was already away with Team Italy for the World Baseball Classic. They've gone on a nice run. Good for him, except he's only had one appearance. That was in pool play on March 8th. Has not pitched since then. So not only is he not playing with Italy, and they play in the semifinals later on the day of this recording, but he's not playing with Italy, and most importantly, the Reds don't know him.
They haven't put eyeballs on him.
They haven't seen him.
They've got one. They've got a scout with Team Italy, but
they don't really know that.
But he hasn't been able to see him pitch.
Yeah.
So he's got.
It's just not going to work.
Nothing against him,
yeah.
But the math just isn't going to work. He's not going to have time to make the club.
He figures to get a chance at some point. He had 80 relief appearances. Well, hang on a second. I'm talking about MLB. He had 80 relief appearances with the Pirates over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So this guy could be a contributor at some point. But
well, that's
what
I'm, but I'm talking about the opening day roster.
Sure. Okay.
He's got no chance.
Yeah, I agree.
So now we got five.
And that's
five
no
spots.
Fault of his own. Yeah.
But now let's talk about
starting pitching, right?
Starting pitching. It's the biggest job battle left in camp. It has been for quite a while. And the conventional wisdom for a couple of weeks now, since we've got the Hunter Green news that he's not going to open on time,
mm-hmm.
is that there were two spots for three guys, being the two righties, Rhett Lauder and Chase Burns, and the lefty, Brandon Williamson. Since then, Chase Burns has had not an injury.
No, at least not yet.
Right. So he's got – they do this – they do a medical training preparation thing with all the pitchers and every day. And part of what they do is, measuring range of motion. And his range of motion came up just a little bit short.
Yeah, flexibility, mobility stuff.
In the past week. And so his last spring training start, they backed him off from a scheduled four or so innings to two.
Yeah.
He looked terrific in the two. You saw it firsthand.
I did.
I was asleep. You saw it firsthand. and so he looked great.
You did, yeah.
I talked to him the next morning. He said he felt great.
Yeah.
Tito tries to – he's trying to protect the kid. He's also trying to – anyway, he's given us what's going on, but it still seems strange. And so,
it was certainly alarming the day of the game to see a pitcher run out of the bullpen for the top of the for the third inning.
Yeah.
When you expected to see Burns going out there.
And,
so
and I saw Burns do an exercise on Sunday where he had a weight that was probably 25-ish pounds, mm-hmm. one of those lead ball weights that has a handle on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was holding
the old kettlebell.
Yeah, there you go. And he was holding it with a bent arm, pushing it almost like a military press above with the one arm, as he paced back and forth across the area along one of the fields. And that's obviously addressing this range of motion issue. Tito also told us that he had a terrific bullpen session since then. So all signs point in the right direction with this guy. But I know what I think. Do you? I mean, does he?
Well, I mean, look. This
do you
is
open
the
season with him?
This is the time of year when all these the three pitchers that are vying for the two open spots in the starting rotation and all the starting pitchers, they talk about getting stretched out. A good outing at this point in camp constitutes what? Staying healthy and getting stretched out. Building up that arm stamina.
And hitting the strike zone. I mean,
sure.
That's the one thing. That's the one statistic that matters.
Totally. But I think that Tito puts a premium, obviously, on these guys coming out of the game healthy and getting stretched out. two innings, and they weren't high traffic, busy innings for Burns. So those two innings against the Giants in Scottsdale, where his start was shortened, probably cut in half, more or less, that's not getting stretched out.
No,
so,
and Tito told us the next day that he could envision that what that means, like they would re-stretch him.
Yeah.
He called it re-stretching the next time out. And that what he could envision is that might mean one fewer inning, if all goes well,
in a start,
in his first start of the regular season.
Wherever that is.
Wherever that is.
Yeah.
And that's really the question right now is, like, do you take even a 1% chance that you might be kind of risking something here? Just based on what you've seen this late in camp, when you get into the colder weather at the back of that rotation?
It really is going to be more challenging. And Terry's talked about that. You know, it's fine here. The temperature, it's going to be easy to get loose and throw hard here. And
especially in a couple of days.
Salt River Valley.
100 degrees.
Unbelievable. You and I are going to be throwing our clothes off when we get here, right?
Let's keep that to ourselves. That's too much information.
That was good. That was good, though. That was very humorous. But, you know, I received a text from my girlfriend today, Gordon. She was telling me that...
Is this another reference to taking clothes off?
No.
What the hell?
She said it was snowing in Cincinnati today.
Oh, yeah.
Look, the Reds have April games in Minnesota. The first six at home. I remember the first homestand last year. There were a couple brutally cold nights.
Well, the first
and
road
those,
trip
those
is,
are just chick.
The tricky. First road trip is Texas and Miami.
Yeah, well, that's killer. That's awesome. And do you have a suitcase big enough for me?
No, that's not.
But happening. Look, you the what
tight of the wing
that could cause it turbulence tipping to one side. But no, really. Look, you're going to get into a more complicated scenario the first month, 6 weeks of the season, depending on what the weird weather, especially in Cincinnati, is doing. And that has to come into play, whereas out here, you can pretty much bank on blue skies and hot, dry heat. It's not going to be like that back home and back east and back north. Some of these places, they're going to play early in the year.
Yeah, look, there's no question Chase Burns is a big part of this team's plans for having success this year.
And beyond.
So this is just about how they open the season. And here's the other thing that, you know, look, we've all been around the game long enough to know how this works. When you set a roster coming out of spring training, the premium is not on figuring out who the key guys are going to be at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's about keeping as many options available.
Yeah.
To your team, as many resources as you can. That's why things like minor league options come into play. You'd rather not release a player if you might keep a guy that you might otherwise have to release if he doesn't make the club.
Yeah.
In order to not lose him out of the organization, we've got a player in camp, Hagen Danner.
Yeah.
Who's just pitched his ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a non-roster invitee that maybe people didn't have on their radar. And he comes in, and he's been one of the best relief pitchers in camp.
Yeah.
And by all indications of performance, if this were to keep up through the final week, you'd say, well, this guy's put himself in a position to make the club. And he may yet make the club. But he also is a guy without options, which means that since he's on a minor league deal already, if he opens in the minors, you don't have to option him out. You don't have to use an option that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
So you don't have to clear him through waivers or anything like that. But if he makes the club and then you decide that, okay, it's not working out right now, we'd like to send him to AAA with a chance to bring him back later. Now you do have to option him out because you will have added him to the 40-man roster at that point.
Yeah.
And now you need a minor league option to move him, and he doesn't have any. So the math might work against a guy like him. Those are the considerations that are in play this time of year more than any other time of year.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those are decisions that get made based on that math, even if it doesn't always look like it's fair or the best guy's being kept.
There's a ton of strategy that goes into it that might not be evident on the surface.
Right.
Things like options, I think, is a great, Gordon, you just gave a great breakdown of an example of that that might not be apparent to maybe the untrained baseball eye of the average fan. And then just pivoting real quick to another area of the team, position players.
Yeah.
How do we feel? Look, I mean, I think there's
two guys in my mind that are very intriguing.
Well, and let's talk about the two locks just to get them out of the way. Jose Trevino, your platinum glove winning backup catcher.
Wait, you talking about the catchers?
No. Just the bench spots.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jose Trevino.
Well, who are the starters? I mean, because one of my intriguing guys is Noel Marte.
All right. I don't know if we have time to debate that. Well, who are your starters?
Well, I mean, Brian Hayes at third, and Elliott short, and McLain at second, and probably Sal Stewart at first.
Yeah.
Probably Gino Suarez DHing, and Stevenson at catcher. And then you've got Friedel in center, probably.
Agree.
Spencer Steer in left.
Agree.
Now we've got a right field situation where Noel V. Marte was your incumbent with a lot of high hopes, and then he's had a tough time in the field this spring.
He has.
Now, that said, Sunday night makes a nice catch. He had a nice catch two games before that, but in between had another issue. So if he has a strong week, if he has a kind of week in the field that they want to see, then he's probably in. Like if there's a bubble here, he's probably on the inside of that bubble.
I agree.
But he's got to work this week to stay there. And if he's here, he's the starter in right field.
Yeah.
By my way of thinking.
Is it fair to also just acknowledge, I guess for the Reds, it really just comes down to your best eight position players at the end of the day, who's going to give you the best chance to win. But Noel V is less than a year into this transition to being a right fielder.
Yeah, what's crazy is he did it in one day.
Yeah.
Last summer.
That was absurd.
And then saves a game and the season in the process with a ninth inning catch that preserves a one run game, a home run robbing catch against Pittsburgh last week of the season.
The significant enough was that moment that the Reds' first bobblehead giveaway of the season is going to be Noel V making that catch. I don't know what's going to be bobbling, the mitt or the head. It doesn't matter. But
his roster spot's bobbling.
Well, I think he's on the 26, man, don't you?
Not if he's not your starter on opening day. Because if he's not in right field on opening day, it's because you don't trust him in the field right now. You figure he's got a little work to show you yet. And if that's the case, you need him to go get that work.
Yeah.
And it could be a quick process. Look, last year, the guy had a lot to earn, and he opened in the minors, and he very quickly earned his way up to the big leagues, and he earned his way into Terry Francona's trust.
Yeah.
I don't think that's completely gone away. I think Francona really likes this kid. Everybody loves this kid's athleticism and his just sheer ability. So now it's a matter of, can he nail down what it takes defensively to be out there?
And I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll say it's not been all bad from Noel V. Like you mentioned, we have seen
It was for weeks.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It was mostly all bad.
We have seen catches that were reminiscent of that game saver against Pittsburgh the last week of the regular season.
Once we started talking about this stuff.
Which is funny, because actually once we went into Terry's office one morning, and kind of the first substantive conversation about Noel V's fielding, he goes out that day, makes a spectacular catch.
And
there have been a couple since.
And a couple of us had talked to Noel V before that game.
Yeah.
So he was aware that this was on Tito's radar. Not only that, I think he hit a home run in that game.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So, I mean, he might have hit two. Did he? No, one was a double. Like he just.
It's like he was listening.
He crushed two balls. And it's funny because the other thing that was brought up in camp with Noel V coming in was that he didn't hit left-handers real well last year. Now, his sample size for his whole career isn't all that big, so that can change in a minute. But that particular day, the home run and the double that he crushed, we're both off lefties. Yeah. Two different lefties, in fact.
It really was like he was listening to our conversation.
It really was. So this is like, it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. He's just got to deliver it this last week.
Yeah. Well, what, anything else you want to touch
on
there?
The other interesting guy is Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nathaniel Lowe hit maybe the, well, two of the longest three homers in camp this spring.
Absolutely.
You just absolutely crushed.
It's unbelievable. Balls. If you've ever been to Goodyear Ballpark, there's a kind of a beer patio with an overhead shelter. He won.
This is where Pat spends his games.
Yeah, this is where I do most of my writing, obviously. Anyone who's ever spoken to me in person can attest. He one-hopped a ball off the roof of that shelter, which is already set back and above one of the highest stretches of wall in Goodyear Ballpark.
Yeah.
He one-hopped the ball off that shelter roof out of Goodyear Ballpark. So just, and that was a day of some impressive long home runs, but he really... That was stunning to witness in person. And there's a cool story behind it. But
so this guy's got left-handed power.
Yeah.
He's been a silver slugger.
Yeah.
He won a World Series with the Rangers in 2023. A lot of his accomplishments are in recent years. He got traded at the deadline last year. He was struggling, got traded, and finished real strong.
Mm-hmm.
So he seems to have carried some of that into this camp.
Yeah.
Did I say Gold Glove? The thing about it is it's a Gold Glove at first base.
Yeah.
And they've already got Sal Stewart. They've got Gino Suarez. And they got a Gold Glove finalist who's probably going to open the season in left field, and Spencer Steer, who Francona's comment was, we're not going to run away from him as one of our options at first base. He's just too good. So he'll get some time over there, too. So if Nathaniel Lowe makes his team as a very intriguing bat, it's going to be as a role player, platoon option, pinch hitter type, at least out of the chute, and kind of insurance for Sal Stewart. But all that said, again, I think they really like this guy, and that's some serious track record that he brings to the table when you have to make these decisions.
As impressive as anyone, resume-wise, that's got to be as impressive as anyone you've covered in this Reds organization since you've been on the beat, right?
Well, I mean, it's up there. Yeah, it's up there.
Not that there haven't been other great players.
Most of the players that, since I've been around have been these young guys. And so, so track records are hard to come by when you're talking about some of those guys. But it's the very fact that he won that World Series with the Rangers, and it was a World Series that people didn't see coming. That helps a clubhouse, too.
Yeah.
It helps having a guy in there who's kind of been there, done that, maybe out of nowhere a little bit. It's not nothing. That's not going to be a deciding factor, but it's just kind of not nothing. It's just an extra intangible.
Oh, yeah.
So just keep an eye on him. See, he's worth watching this last week.
Gordon, unbelievable. This podcast had come off flawlessly. We hadn't bothered anyone. We have minimal interruption from...
We bother people all the time.
No interruption from lawnmowers. I think only two planes have taken off at the airfield about a couple hundred yards in that direction. The wind.
These dudes out here haven't even started making noise.
Yeah, they're helping.
They're about to.
They're hooking us up, though, for now. And
now the wind.
The wind is...
Now the wind is completely...
This is just the story of our podcast, wouldn't you say?
This is the big mess of the big problem.
Well... So long as the wind didn't block out these thoughts, we hope you feel
brilliant
more.
Thoughts.
Yeah, we hope you have a better idea of what to look for and expect over what is now 6 days until they break camp.
It might be 5 days by the time you see this.
Yeah.
So, things are going to move really fast at this point.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's a wrap on another edition of the Big Pod Machine. Pat Brennan, Gordon Whittenmeyer.
See them back east?
What's this
now? See them. Well, we'll see our people, our loyal audience back east.
Yeah, shovel that snow for us before we get there, please.
Please.
God, what an asshole I am.
It's unbelievable.
Anyway, shout out to our terrific producer, Phil Didion.
Phil, you're the man, dude.
He rescued our last podcast with some background noise, and
he might
have to do it again. Or at least with the wind.
Phil, we can't control the wind, buddy. We're sorry.
But anyway, thanks for watching and listening. And pay attention this week. Big week for for the rest.
Huge.
That's it for Pat and I, Big Pod Machine. See you next week.